Shalom, this is Rav Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Pesei Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights to the Daf series. Today's Daf is Meseches Brochos Daf Yudalid. The topic is Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, what makes it unique. The Gemara on Daf Yudalid, after discussing the different places where one could be mafsik in Kriya Shema and its Brochos, does what Gemara often does, and will branch out its discussion to other areas where we can be mafsik and where we can't be mafsik. The first area that the Gemara discusses is Hallel and the Megillah, and the Gemara's wording of the question is as follows. Ba'amine Achai, Tana Devei Rabbi Chia, Mirab Chia. Achai, who was one of the students of the Beis Medrash Rabbi Chia, asked Rabbi Chia the following question. Ba'Hallel of the Megillah, Mahu Sheyafsik, is one allowed to interrupt while he's reciting Hallel? Is one allowed to make an interruption? Are interruptions permissible during the reading of the Megillah? What is this question based on? Why would you say yes? Why would you say no? So, the tzad to say yes is the following. Amina Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? Kriya Shema Deoraisa. Kriya Shema is obligations from the Torah. It's a very high, intense obligation. And yet, Posik, you're allowed to interrupt certain situations. Yira Kavod, discussed in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Hallel de Rabbanan, Hallel's obligation is only the Rabbanan Mibayi, it's even a question. Oh, Dilmer, perhaps. Persume Nisa Adif. There are certain days where a miracle took place, Shet Shalosh Regalim, Chanukah, and Purim. It's important to express our thanks for that nace through Hallel, or in Purim's case, the Megillah. There is a Hallel, meaning that the need for this expression is so strong that it might gather greater, it might carry greater weight than the mitzvah of Torah of Kriya Shema. So this is what the suffix that Rabbi Chia, that the Tana of Achai, who was one of the students of Rabbi Chia's yeshiva, had. Do we look at Hallel as something different or more strict because it is involving pursuing Nisa? Or do we put it on the same plane, do we look at it the same as any type of obligation, just like we would do with Shema? And we infer from the fact that Shema were allowed to be mafsik, we could be mafsik with Hallel also. So the Gemara's answers, Amrle Posik Vein Bechaklun. Rav Chia gives a very simple, cryptic answer, and he says, you can be mafsik, and there's no problem with it. What exactly does that mean, you can be mafsik or not? So the Rabbah comes and clarifies what Rabbi Chia said. And Rabbah says, Yamim Shehayachid Gomer Behemes HaHallel. And we're just going to translate individual right now, or the words right now, because the translation is subject to interpretation. But we'll just translate the words again. Yomim she'yachid yod gomer behenes ha'halel. On days that the individual completes halel, bein perek beperek posek, one can interrupt between chapters. Be'emtza perek eno posek, one may not interrupt in the middle of chapters. V'yomim she'ena yachid gomer behenes ha'halel. On days where the individual does not complete the halel, Afilu be'emtza ha'perek posek, one can even interrupt in the middle of a chapter. What exactly do these terms yachid and gomer mean? So there's a very long and lengthy Tosfos on Daf Yadalit Oman Aleph. And it's this Tosfos that addresses these questions plus another number of the issues that come up regarding Hallel, specifically on Rosh Chodesh. So let's take these terms one at a time. First, let's take the first term that Rabbah mentioned, Yomim shehayochid gomer behenes ha'halel. Days that the individual recites Hallel or completes Hallel. What do we mean by yochid or an individual? So Tosfos right off the bat says, don't think that a yochid means somebody who's davening at home. Because one might say, well, this is what happens when a person's davening at home, but what happens if a person's in shul? So Tosfos says, afilu tzibur kori yochid. The Gemara, when the Gemara refers to the word yochid, individual, that's even referring to somebody saying it as a minyan. So now that bears the question, wait a second. We never usually use the word yachid to describe a minyan. That's usually called tzibur. So why are we using it over here? So Tosfos mentions, Kevon she'in kol Yisrael biyachad. Since not all of Yisrael are singing Hallel together as a nation, we're considered to be under the category of yachid, as per the definition of the Gemara. So what does this definition exactly mean? So when would the situation be that we're all singing Hallel together as a nation? So on this, Tosfos explains that when we talk about Yochid, or I'm sorry, when we talk about Tzibur, we're talking about at the time when they used to shef the Korban Pesach. When the Korban Pesach was shechted, the Jews were divided into three different groups. And when each group, while each group was shechting the Korban Pesach, Hallel was recited by the Levim, as well as by the people who were shechting the Korban Pesach also. There you have actually the entire tzibur in one particular place saying Hallel. That would make it, in this case, that would make it tzibur. What we do is, different shuls, different minyanim, even within Eretz Yisrael, within the same city or the same block, but you have different minyanim even in the same shul. Since not everybody is saying Hallel at the same exact time, or the same exact place, that's why it would be called Yachid. So for our purposes, when the Gemara says Yachid, it doesn't mean just an individual, it means individuals or minyanim. In other words, whenever Hallel is said. Okay? So, we go back and put this term into what Rabba said. Yom Sha Yachid Gomer Behem Nesah Hallel means that days when we, we'll call it a we, complete Hallel. What do we mean by complete Hallel? So we stay with Tosos, who says the word Gomer means Yom Sha Gomer Bo Esah Hallel refers to days that we read or recite the full Hallel. Gomer means Kore. Now it would go to say that if days that we are Gomer Bo Esah Hallel refer to days that we say the full Hallel, then Yom She'in Gomer Bo Esah Hallel, days that we don't read Hallel, we refer to days that we don't say it. Well, if that's the case, that we're speaking about days that we recite Hallel, that we don't recite Hallel, and you're just reciting these Prokim of Telem randomly, why would Rabba say that we can only be mafsik in certain cases? Right? If you go back to Rabba, Rabba says, Yom She'in Yachad Gomer Esah Hallel, it says, Afilu Be'emsa Perek Posek. We're going to learn later on that that's not necessarily just to simply answer a question or anything. There are going to be limitations in the amount of time, that the ability that one could be mafsik or interrupt. If you're just reading prakim randomly, then why is there an isser to interrupt? So rather, Tosus explains that these days are speaking about times that we recite Chatzi Hallel. So now we're left with this. Yom Shagomer Mimosa Hallel, that would be Hallel Shalim, what we call referred to colloquially. And Yomim She'in Gorim Bo Esah Hallel, that refers to Chatzi Hallel. So why is it the Gemara just called Chatzi Hallel? So Tosus explains, it teaches us that when we're not doing Hallel Shalim, it's not considered to be a Kriyas Hallel or the Mitzvah Hallel. The Mitzvah Hallel applies only when you recite the full Hallel. But if you recite Chatzi Hallel, you're not Mekayim any Mitzvah. So if that's the case, you're not Mekayim any Mitzvah. So then why would you say Chatzi Hallel in the first place? Like what we do on Rosh Chodesh. So Tosos explains, it's because of a minhag. And what Rabbi says is that when we are speaking about Yomim She'ena Yachid Goen Behem as a Halil, Afilu Be'emsa Perek Posek, that is talking about days where Halil is only said as a minhag. Now, exactly, what are we talking about in terms of Posek and not Posek? So let's move to the next step, and that's what the Rashba explains. The Rashba explains, when Rabbi says, Yomim she'yomim gomer behenes ha'halil, being perek the perek posek, the Rashba explains, it's like kikriya shema, she'u perek, she'u posek, being perek per perek, l'sholom ne'hakavod, u'lahashiv l'sholom l'chol adam, u'be'emsa perek, sholom ne'hayira, u'meshiv ne'hakavod. So basically, the Rashba says, what Rabba means is that when we're dealing with Hallel Shalim is exactly like Shema, meaning Be'emsa Perek Yishol Nehayira U'meshiv Nehakavod. Be'ena Prakim Yishol Nehakavod and Meshiv Shalom L'chol Adam. And now Yom Shina Yachid Gomer, days that we say Chatzi Hallel, which it's only through a minhag. So we say, Afilu be'emsa perek shol ne'akavod u'meshiv shalom l'chol adam. We're going to view the entire thing as being a prakim. As explained, as the Rashba explains, Rabba, we have a difference between Chatzi Hallel and Hallel Shalim. And in fact, so says the Shulchan Aruch, v'gormim es ha'halel, we're speaking about Pesach the first day. We finish, we complete Hallel, v'mavsikin bo ele kederish amru b'kriya shema. Bemsa Perek Shol B'Shalom Aviv Arabo, that's Yira, Umeshiv Shalom La'adam Nichbad Shenaslo Shalom. Beina Prakim Shol B'Shalom Adam Nichbad, Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam. And skipping ahead or moving back to Simon Tov Kof Beis, reverting Chatzi Hallel, The Shulchan Aruch says, L'inyan ha'psak, L'inyan hefsek, afilu b'emsa shol b'shalom adam shu'tzarech l'inabot kavod u'mishiv shalom l'chol adam. Aval b'inyan acher lo yafsek. The Ramah adds, this is Dafka on Rosh Chodesh and Pesach when we say Chatzi Halal. Okay, so what are we doing basically here? We've said that Chatzi Halal has a din both in the middle b'ina prakim and b'emsa prakim, like b'ina prakim of Shema, and Halal Shalim, which is a mitzvah, is stricter, it's like Shema itself. Fine, so we've answered the question. But we have another issue that Tosfos brings down. And that comes after Tosfos discusses this. Tosfos quotes the Machzor Vitri and writes, the cause of a Machzor Vitri, she'eino ela minig ba'alma, there's a cave and she'eino ela minig ba'alma, since it's only a custom to recite Halal and Rosh Chodesh, lo mevarchin an alei, we don't make a bracha on it, Kid'amar Parak Lulava Rava, as it says in the fourth parak of Sukkah, Ein Mevarchin al Davar Shu Minog, we don't make a bracha on something that's a minog. This discussion is based on the Gemara in the fourth parak. There the Gemara discusses about whether taking the Arava on Hoshana Rabbah today is either Yesod Nevi'im or Takanas Nevi'im, a minog or a mitzvah. The Gemara explains the nafkamina between the two is whether you make a bracha on it or not. And the Gemara over there is of the opinion that you don't make a bracha on a minog. So comes the Machzor Vitri and explains that the rule expounded upon in Masechta Sukkah about not making a bracha on a minog applies to all minhagim, including Halal on Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, comes the Machzor Vitri and says you would not make a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh, as per the Gemara in Sukkah. Rabbeinu Tam objects and says we can make a distinction between a Rava, which is tiltal b'yama, simply just picking up a branch, and hala, which is a recitation of psukim, and act no different than reciting psukim of the Torah. Rabbeinu Tam maintains that you actually make a bracha on hala that's a minuk. Now Tosfos brings down two proofs to Rabbeinu Tam. The first is Yom Tov Sheni. The Gemara Maseches Beitza tells us that the institution of Yom Tov Sheni came about through Sfeika D'Yoma, as there was uncertainty as to when Beis Din per se sanctified the Chodesh, which consequently affected the day of Yom Tov. In other words, those who live near Beis Din, i.e. those in Eretz Yisrael, were able to know the actual date of Rosh Chodesh. And since they know the actual date of Rosh Chodesh, say, for example, they know Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Sunday, so then they count 15 days afterwards, and that's when you get Pesach. However, those who lived in the diaspora, a little bit further away, the communication system was not as fine-tuned as the communication system as it is today. Right? They used to send shlichim, they used to send messengers from based in to the different communities, and it would take some time. And the likelihood is that they might not be able to reach certain locales by the proper day of Yom Tov. So therefore, they were told, the people in the communities were told, you know what, you keep 2 days. What do we mean? We mean this, we know that the month, let's say the month of Nisan is going to start either 30 days after the end of Adar, or 30, or 31 days after the end of Adar. So you know what you do? Let's assume both are true. And we'll bake Pesach 2 days. We'll celebrate 1 day of Pesach 15 days after the 30th day of Adar, and a second day of Pesach 15 days after the 31st day of Adar. And that's the evolution of Yom Tov Sheni. However, the Gemara in Beitza says, today we already know the calendar. Hillel HaZaki and the Hillel IV went and set up the calendar that we have, to the point where that if you would check online and you want to know when is Pesach going to be in the year 3492, you'll find it in the calendar. Now, that being the case, the Gemara in Beitza wants to know, so then why do we keep Yom Tov Sheni? And the Gemara says over there, Hizaru b'minag avoseinu. We were told to be careful and to guard the custom of our forefathers. We've kept 2 days now for so many years that it became the minhag or the custom of Chutz Laaretz. So with that in mind, Tosfos explains that we make many brachos on Yom Tov Sheni. We make brachos for Kiddush, we make brachos for candle lighting, we have Shemona Esrei. And let's say on the second Seder, we have different mitzvos related to the second Seder. There's a matzah, there's a maror, and so on. We are making plenty of brachos on Yom Tov Sheni. So comes Tosfos and says that we're going to put Halel in this category also. The fact that we make these brachos on a mitzvah, we could also make a bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh. The second raya comes brought down by Rabbeinu Tam based on a story mentioned in Tanis. The Gemara relates that Rav traveled to Bavel. And when Rav was in Bavel, the Gemara says, Chazinu, he saw, Dikakaru Halela Bereish Yarcha, that that they were saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So Sovar, Rav was concerned and wanted, he was considering La'af Sukininhu. He wanted to put them in Cherem. However, what made Rav not put them in Cherem? Came into Chazah to come at Dalgi Delugi, so that they were skipping parts of it. Amar, he said, Shema Mina, Migav of Seyem Biyadeyem, they're only doing it because of a Midag and not because of a Mitzvah. You see, Rav was upset. He thought that the recitation of Hallel in Bavel was going to be done because of a mitzvah, and that's why they were reciting a full Hallel. And he wanted to put them in Cherem. Once he saw that they were not doing a full Hallel, the Gemara says Rav decided, okay, I don't need to put them in Cherem. They're not doing anything wrong. Question of the Raya that Tosfos says is, wait a second. Let's stop for a second. What made Rav upset? If they were just simply reading these prakim completely, why should Rav be upset? At the end of the day, they're still reading prakim. Ella, you know what it must be. It must be that they must have made a bracha before. And once they're making a bracha before, then Rav has reason to be upset, because Rav's going to say, wait a second, they're making a bracha before and saying the full hallel. They're making a mitzvah that doesn't exist. But once Rav saw that, hey, they're only saying half hallel, that means that it's not a mitzvah. It must be that they're doing it with a minug. But the fact is that they made a bracha. That's something that's not lost on Tosos. And Tosos says, here you see that you can make a bracha on hallel. So Tosos are these two rayas. Now, what is the issue exactly about making a bracha on a minhag? So Rashi in Sukkah tells us is that, you know, when we make a bracha on a mitzvah, the fundamental formulation of the bracha is Vitzivanu. Asher kedushanu v'mitzvosav, we thank Hashem for sanctifying us, giving us the opportunity to become holier through performance of mitzvos, Vitzivanu, and that you commanded us. And the question is, how can you say Vitzivanu on, I can say Vitzivanu on a mitzvah in a Torah. Torah tells us to blow shofar, I could say Vitzivanu. Torah tells us to take a lulav, or eat maps, I could say Vitzivanu. Torah tells us to put on tefillin, I could say Vitzivanu. Why would I say Vitzivanu when a mitzvah derabbanon? Where does the Torah say so? So the Gemara already in Sukkah tells us that there is a pasuk that says lo sosur, mina davar she'agidu l'chol yaminu small. And lo sosur is telling us that there's a mitzvah to listen to the chachamim. So when we're making a bracha on a mitzvah derabbanon, we're not necessarily saying, God, you have commanded us to light Hanukkah candles, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not command us to light Hanukkah candles in the Torah. But what are we doing? We're saying, Hashem, you commanded us to listen to our Chachamim. And the way that we're expressing this mitzvah of listening to the Chachamim is through their command of lighting Hanukkah candles. Comes Rashi, and Rashi says, a mitzvah is one thing. A minhag, a custom, there's no vitzivanu. It doesn't fall under the rubric of lo sasur. And because it doesn't fall under the rubric of lo sasur, we can't say vitzivanu. Because we can't say vitzivanu, that's why there's no bracha. The Rambam disagrees with this. And the Rambam explains that minhagim are also bound by lo sasur. So then, wait a second. If minhagim are bound by lo sasur, and you don't keep a minhag, you're over this mitzvah. And mitzvos derabbanan are bound by lo sasur. So then what's the difference between a mitzvah and a minhag? And the Rambam says that it happens to be that mitzvos have more of a chashivos than minhag. One was designated to be a mitzvah, and one was designated to be a good practice. And the way that we tell is that you make a mitzvah, make a bracha on a mitzvah, you don't make a bracha on a minhag. So then how would they explain Yom Tov Sheni? Because all are of the opinion that you do make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni. So the Briskerov explains that according to the Rambam, we'll say there's a difference between something such as Arava and Yom Tov Sheni. And what's the difference? Arava is Tiltul B'Alma, you're just lifting up a branch. There's no Etzem Maisa Mitzvah, there's no act by lifting up a branch that spells out Mitzvah. You can go into your backyard and clean up your backyard, or clean up the tree that fell, or the leaves that fell, or trim your trees and take off the branches, and you could do the same thing, and there's nothing in that act that smells Mitzvah, or that speaks Mitzvah. Yom Tov Sheni, though, what are we doing? We're doing acts that implicit in those acts are mitzvah. What are we doing? No malacha, kiddush, davening, eating matzah, eating maror, and so on. So the fact is, even though the mechayev, or the obligator of these acts, is a minhag, nonetheless, since these acts themselves are mitzvah acts, therefore you'd have to make a bracha. That's how the Rambam would explain Yom Tov Sheni. So then where would the idea of Hallel come in? So the Brisker Rav comes and says that, you know what? Rebbeinu Tam is of the same impression of the Rambam when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni. However, the Rambam and Rebbeinu Tam do disagree by Hallel. So what's the difference? So the Brisker Rav explains that the bracha that comes about is on an act that comes about through a mitzvah, and that would be limud haTorah. And Rabbeinu Tam is going to be saying that at the end of the day, when you're reciting Hallel, what are you doing? You're doing the act of limud haTorah, just like we make a bracha on limud haTorah every day, and we make a bracha of limud haTorah when we lay in public. So too, when we're reciting the Pesukim of Hallel. Even though the obligator is a minhag, nonetheless, since the act itself is a mitzvah act of learning Torah, that would be reason enough to require the bracha. The Brisker Rav says the Rambam is looking at Hallel a little bit differently. Hallel is not necessarily coming about through the chiyuv of lima Torah. Really, the mechayiv of Hallel and the act of Hallel is really praising Hashem. It is what it says. It is Hallel. It's being done through the recitation of Psukim. But this act in itself is not really looking at this as, oh, you're finding one way to do the mitzvah of Limud Torah. It's true that there's a byproduct of this expression of saying thanks that involves Limud Torah. But the compelling reason, according to the Brisker Rav, is the Hallel praising Hashem. And on this aspect, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam disagree. In other words, what are we looking as the mechayev of this Hallel? Are we saying this Hallel is primarily an expression of limud haTorah, which thanks Hashem? Or are we saying this is an expression of thanks which is brought about through limud haTorah? Now you might say, what's the difference? It just sounds like a bunch of semantics. The difference is huge. Because if you're saying it's an expression of thanks brought about through Torah, then the real obligating factor is the thanks, which is, again, comparable to Tiltil B'Alma. You're just picking up a branch. You're saying thank you. That's not a per se an inherent mitzvah. So therefore, you wouldn't make a bracha. That's how the Rambam is looking at it. But if you're looking at it as you're using limud haTorah as a way to express thanks, there, the act that you're doing is an implicit mitzvah. And because it's an implicit mitzvah, therefore, one would require to make a bracha. So that's how the Brisker Rav would explain the machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam, who says you make a bracha on a minhag, you do not, so you make a bracha on a minhag, specifically Hallel, and the Rambam, who says you wouldn't. Now, regarding this minhag of saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, what is this mitzvah minhag based on? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a beautiful, beautiful answer. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and I'll read it to you, says, V'ikar hatam nira, the main reason appears to be, the fi shebechidush halavana nira remez lamatzavenu. We find a hint to our situation in Galus. Kemoshe amrinam bebevirchas halavana, like we say in Kiddush Halavana, where we ask Hashem to, like, you know, be memale, to complete the moon. And we say like this, the fact that the moon reappears after disappearing, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, L'chein chashvin on zeh v'ketzas Yeshua. It's a little bit of a salvation because we see, you know something? The moon reappears and the moon reemerges. And if the moon reemerges, so too, Klal Yisrael also reemerges. And it reminds me of the Das Kanim that I heard quoted by Rabbi Glasser on this idea in the parsha we just read today, Parsha's Bo, which signifies this idea as well. The Gemara tells us that Kiddush HaChodesh is one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu had a very, very difficult time. And the question is, what is so difficult? You look at the moon. What's so hard? It wasn't there, now it's there. And the Das Kanim says the difficulty was because the moon at the end of the month looks very, very similar to the moon at the beginning of the month in terms of the amount that's there. So one could have thought, or Moshe Rabbeinu was said, how am I going to know the difference about whether the moon that I'm seeing is really from the previous month or from the new month? In other words, we just had Rosh Chodesh Shvat last week. How do I know the moon is from Shvat and not from Teves? And this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can make a difference. Because of when the moon is from the previous month, the points are turning towards the west. The moon is opened up towards the west. when we're talking about the new moon, the moon is open towards the east. What does the east symbolize? The east symbolizes sunrise, the beginning of a new day. And when we come each Rosh Chodesh, we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, you're giving us a new month. You're giving us a new day. You're giving us a new start. Each month itself has its own set of obligations and ways to relate in our avodas Hashem. The Netziv writes in Parashas Bo, which you also read today, that HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Nisan being the first of the month, that is the month, that is the first of the year of the months related to Klal Yisrael. We see the emergence of the Jewish nation at that time. We see tremendous amount of growth in Nisan. But it's not just Nisan that has a tremendous amount of growth. Every month has a tremendous amount of growth. What we're doing is, the minhag is based on the fact that every Rosh Chodesh, we have this new chance to start again. And this new chance to start again is what brings us the custom to say Hallel, to thank Hashem for the opportunity. Kol Tov, have a great week.